Hello and welcome to our presentation this morning. This is the second of a three-part webinar series that I'm doing, Solving Complex Health Challenges That Most MDs Can't Solve. And I'm Dr. Rita Marie Loscalzo, and I'm going to be guiding you through a presentation today that's going to be chock full of clinical information, clinical pearls that you could probably put in use right away. And I'm known for doing that. I love doing that. I love providing information that's practical, that's understandable, and that's usable right away. The best way to remember and engage in a presentation is to be active. And that's why we're starting to do these action guides instead of just giving you copies of slides or just having you watch. Because watching and listening are two senses that are involved. If you just listen, you perceive and understand and remember a certain percentage of what you heard. If you add the visual to the audio, which is why I put the slides up, then you add to that, and it could be, you know, anywhere from, you know, 15 to 20% you're going to remember. If you then add taking notes to it, it's going to skyrocket that. And I don't have specific percentages, but from a learning perspective, it's very important to engage, even if you never read your notes back. And I'm guilty of that. I'm one of these people who takes ferocious notes when I'm listening because it helps cement the information. And I rarely go back and watch or listen to those things. So it's up to you, but I would highly recommend that you take advantage of these resources that we're providing you. Plus, it will provide you with a handbook that you could go back to later, since a lot of this material might be new to you. And I recognize that for some of you, some of what I'll be talking about is a review, and that's okay, because I like reviews, and I know it's really important to have, to get somebody else's perspective sometimes. I promise you it won't all be review. There's going to be something new here for just about everybody. I'd be surprised if not. Just a distinction. It might be something slightly different, some different way of looking at it. But I will encourage you to avoid turning your brain off because you hear something you already knew. And that's a tendency we all have. It's like, oh, I already knew that. I already knew that. I already knew that. And what that does is it shuts off learning. And you may shut off learning and just have your brain in a different mode and then miss something that was critical. I mean, I go to seminars all the time because I'm a lifelong learner. And when I hear things that are something I've already heard before, I'm excited because it reinforces that. If it's something I've already learned and am doing, I'm excited because I can pat myself on the back and say, good job. And if it's something where it's something I've kind of heard before, but I haven't really put into place, I'm excited because it reminds me. So there's learning here to be had by everyone. And I see some of the people that have joined the call and are joining now are folks who are in my certification program for nutritional endocrinology. And hi, you know, Tony and Lynn and who else is there? Anyway, you guys have heard a lot. You hear me a lot. You get to be on calls with me a few times a month. Then we really go over lots of cases. So it's some of the stuff I say tonight, you've already heard me say, but there's going to be stuff that you haven't because it's in from modules we haven't gotten to yet. So I appreciate you really coming out here and being so voracious a learner that you're just willing to spend some of your free time continuing to learn and to grow. I think we're all here because we have a shared mission and we want to see healthcare practiced differently in our society. We really want a true healthcare system, right? Not a disease care system, which is why we've decided that we are already health coaches, health practitioners. We've got MDs, we've got DCs, acupuncturists, naturopaths. We've got people in all capacities in health. And you guys have decided by going into that field that you want to change it. Oh, nurses, don't let me forget you nurses. I don't want you to feel left out. We have a bunch of nurses in our certification program. So I don't want you to feel left out. But you're here for a reason and you're giving up your free time. Why? Because this stuff isn't taught in conventional schools. If you were in nursing school or medical school or even chiropractic school, or at naturopathic school. Some of these distinctions are not made even there. Although, you know, you're getting way more of a different perspective. So we're here for a reason. Stay tuned. I am going to make it so worth your while. And know that I'm sharing you with you as much as I can in an hour and a half. And is it okay if we go over that? We might end up going a little bit over that. We did last time. But I'm going to try to keep it to an hour and a half because I know your time on Saturdays are precious. But in an hour and a half, I can't teach you everything I've learned in 23 years of clinical practice and also last few years of working with other practitioners and knowing what their needs are. So that's at the end, I'll tell you a little bit more about how you can dig deeper if you want to dig deeper into any of these particular areas we're talking tonight. Today, I'm so used to doing nighttime. So this is part two of a three-part series. Last week we did part one, which was the modern epidemic that thwarts fat-burning energy production and clear thinking. And on that call, I introduced you to the concept of balancing the HPAT axis, which is the hypothalamic pituitary adrenal thyroid axis. And we had lots of great distinctions. We'll review a few of those tonight, but really use that to launch in. If you missed that, no problem. Understanding this one today does not require that you have watched or listened to that, but I will refer back to spots where I'll say, yeah, we went into more detail in part one. Go ahead and, you know, go back and either re-listen or listen for the first time. Everything's recorded, so if you missed part one, no problem. You have access to the link or the recording of that on the same page you got access to the live version of this. So no worries. Part two today is five keys to breaking the vicious cycle that leads to chronic fatigue, fibromyalgia, depression, and mood swings. And I'm going to tie in a few things related to hormone balance and related to some of the areas, and we'll describe what that vicious cycle is. So stay tuned for a lot more. And part three is going to be really digging into the thyroid. So tonight, when I talk about some thyroid interactions, I'm going to give you a little quick overview. And please, please put on your calendar part three next Wednesday, 7 ways to assess for thyroid issues that most doctors overlook. And some of those ways are not even thyroid testing. So some of those ways, I'm going to go into massive detail on thyroid testing so you really understand it, because quite frankly, most practitioners don't. Most practitioners don't have a clue. At the end of the series, how to reset the fat thermostat, allow your weight loss resistance clients to finally shed the unwanted pounds. Those are the guys. Those are the things we went over in part one. So if you missed part one, that's a little teaser. The most frequently overlooked test and how and when to run them and put the results into action to restore balance and energy. That's next week. Next week's the third part. How to get your clients off the roller coaster so that they can reset their hormones and achieve vibrant energy and vitality. We're going to do that today. And how to win the confidence game and attract all the clients you need and want. That's like interspersed throughout. And we'll talk to you a little bit more about that at the end of part three. So tonight, I'm really keen on making sure that you understand the limitations of the specialist mentality that looks at presenting complaints rather than underlying mechanism. And that's where I want to steer you guys away from. It is very important that we don't get into that mode. And I see a lot of holistic, quote unquote, holistic practitioners or nutrition practitioners get into that mode. I see MDs that move into functional medicine and they end up getting into a mode of somebody presents with what appears to be a digestive problem. They work on the digestion, don't look at what other things are underlying it. It's less likely in the holistic realm, of course. But I want you to get rid of it. You can specialize in helping people with hormone problems. You can specialize in helping kids with ADD. That can be your area of focus. But when I say the specialist mentality, it means that when you come, somebody presents with something that appears to be a problem with their brain, like ADD or autism, you don't just focus on balancing their brain chemistry. So I want you to just make sure that that's limited, because so many times it's this sequence of things that leads to the presenting complaints. And I'm going to share with you that cycle, that vicious cycle that I think is overlooked a lot when we're dealing especially with some of these conditions like chronic fatigue, fibromyalgia, depression, and mood swings. And we will be looking at three key hormones and another area of the body in order to help people with chronic fatigue, fibromyalgia, depression, and mood swings. Because frequently in the medical practice, somebody comes in and they've been fatigued for a long time. They're having problems sleeping, blah, blah, blah. They can't work. They get slapped on the label chronic fatigue. And there's not a whole lot that medicine can do for them. They can give antidepressants for the depression. They can give sleep aids for the sleep parts. And they can just say, you know, have a good life, get a lot of sleep. And they don't really look at the underlying cause. Some people will look at things like Epstein-Barr virus and look for an underlying viral condition, which is good. But we really want to look at more. And that's what I'm going to share with you with all of these. Chronic fatigue, fibromyalgia, depression, and mood swings. What I'm sharing with you tonight can be applied to other chronic conditions. The reason I chose these to just point out is because these are things that when especially new holistic practitioners encounter these in their practice, after a person's been to the MD and gotten this diagnosis and they want to know what to do, you feel kind of stumped and overwhelmed because it's like, oh my God, this is hard. And really, when we break it down, it's not that hard. I'm not saying that you're going to get overnight success with these folks, because there's a lot of factors, including psychological factors, that do need to be addressed. But there's physiologic factors, endocrine factors, digestive factors, etc. And we're going to start to tease that apart tonight, today. So how to identify when your client is in the midst of a vicious cycle of imbalance, and five simple strategies for breaking the cycle. And when I say simple, it's not necessarily easy, but it's simple if you know what to look for and then the protocols to put into place, the lifestyle, the diet, the herbs, the supplements that you would be putting into place will take some doing and some interaction with people and some back and forth and try. And because one of the things you got to realize about using nutrition and natural therapies is we don't have quick turn off the symptom type of approaches. And yet there are some very strong herbs that I tell you to use with caution that can do some symptom suppression. But really what we're doing is fixing the underlying cause. And it takes a lot longer to fix the underlying cause than it does to just turn off the symptoms. Like in a pain situation, right? It's real easy. You take a drug, it turns off the signaling of the pain. But the problem's still there. And in fact, it's detrimental to the person to turn off their pain. It's detrimental because then they don't know that they're injuring themselves when they're doing certain activities. They just feel fine until the pain med wears off. So that's the issue. We want to get into breaking the cycle, getting to the root cause. But it will take time and energy. So I want to point you to your guide. Before we look at the last point is the food and lifestyle choices that allow your client to experience abundant energy, mental clarity, focus, fitness of mind, body, spirit. All of those things are important, and food and lifestyle choices are critical. Yes, there may be some times when you're going to be really heavily focusing on supplementation, heavily focusing on herbs, heavily focusing on even bioidentical hormones. But if you don't, you do the foundational pieces first, the food and lifestyle, you're not going to get far. I know even people who have been in my program for a little while, they'll come to me with their cases on our calls and will say, oh, this person is presenting with and it's some condition that they've never dealt with. I've never dealt with this before. Well, we break it down. It's like, well, what is it? It's an inflammatory condition. What kind of things might be going on? Well, this vicious cycle that I'm talking to you about tonight can be applicable not just to chronic fatigue, not just to fibromyalgia, not just depression, and not just to mood swings, but to other chronic things that have that funny word itis at the end, or that alga at the end. Alga meaning pain, and itis meaning inflammation. So you got to go to the core first. And yes, you can be dealing with supplements and herbs and bioidenticals to break the cycle at the beginning, to get them to feeling better first. Yes, it's sometimes necessary, depending on how far along they are. And then they get motivated. But you cannot avoid doing the food and lifestyle choices. And that's what I see some of my colleagues in functional medicine really not paying more than lip service to, yeah, you got to change your diet and lifestyle, but here's your supplements. And people just want the quick fix. So they go, yeah, yeah, yeah. They hear, oh yeah, you got to change your diet. And they, you know, that's kind of in the back of their mind, but they're going to take the supplements or herbs thinking that that's going to quote unquote cure them. And that's not true. That's not true. And you need to be in the place where you're educating them about the food and lifestyle choices. That's a big part of what I do. Yes, I'm great at digging in and looking at labs and understanding and helping people optimize their programs. But at the end of the day, I am juicy and passionate about teaching them how to change their food and lifestyle choices. Not just saying, here, eat a gluten-free diet, eat more greens. Providing those tools. And I really encourage you in your practice to either create those tools that are personalized for you or to utilize those tools that other people have created via affiliate relationships and joint venture relationships with your colleagues. Whereas they created a great plan for a 7-day detox and you don't have the time to do that, and you'll do cross referrals to them, and maybe you've created some sort of emotional eating strategy checklist, and you can share it with their people. And it's really helpful to have those relationships, and that helps you not only to be more successful as a practitioner, but it helps you to be more effective with generating a revenue and an income. Because face it, a lot of people go into this from a job, they go into this part-time and haven't figured out how to make this a full-time lucrative position so you can leave behind the stress of the old job. So a lot of things tied into this whole presentation, this presentation tonight, and the whole series. A lot of things go into making you really effective. Okay, so I am going to move on, and on your in your document, I have on page 2, you can fill in the blanks from what I have up here, how to reset the fat thermostat and allow your weight loss resistance clients to finally to finally shed that extra weight. So I'll go back there. You can, if you haven't filled in page 2 on your let's see, there we go, how to reset the fat thermostat. And so basically, if you look at the guide, and this is true throughout, in the guide, I've got fill in the blanks, and I'll have maybe most of the sentence, or sometimes I just have the 5 top whatever, and you just write them down as I'm speaking. I will work at remembering to point you to the page, but just keep flipping in your guide, and that'll be a place where you can find where we're at and fill in the blanks. So page 2, and as a superstar health and wellness coach, I want you to be able to increase your confidence at solving tough cases, get results, transform your clients, and increase your bottom line. So increase your prosperity and success in your business, not only with your clients, but with making a living, doing it. So let's move on. Okay, so before I go too much further, I want to insert the medical disclaimer. You'll notice I put this in all my presentations. I put this in presentations that are for the clients that I work with, because I want to make sure that this is not intended to replace a one-on-one relationship with a qualified healthcare professional, not medical advice. This is something you want to pass on to your clients when you're sitting down and talking to them about their pain and their digestive woes and how nutrition can help them. You're not giving them medical advice. You're not diagnosing, you're not treating. You're assessing their situation. You're assessing for obstacles in their diet lifestyle that's creating the imbalances. You're helping them to restore nutrient sufficiency and get rid of toxicity and have a good life. It's not medical advice. So before we go into the meat of the presentation, which is following, I'm going to unmute Elena, who has her hand up. I want to make sure she's not having difficulty. So Elena, are you having difficulty, or did you accidentally press 1 on your star 2? Your kitten did that. Well, good old kitty. Okay, I'll put your hand down. So I would encourage you all, if you have questions as we go through, it's best if you, let me make sure I muted her back. It's best if you If you don't raise your, if you raise your hand during the presentation, it's, I'm going to think that there's something seriously wrong, like you're no longer hearing me or anything like that. So use the raising hands during the presentation for serious problems with getting, you know, you're not hearing anymore or something along those lines. If you've got any questions, go ahead and press chat. Chat will flip-flop between that and your presentation. So you'll have to press chat and then go back to slides, chat, slides. So try to keep up with where we're at. But if you have some issues, Lynn is on there and she can answer it. And other people who have been on lots of calls with me before can answer it. And there's a whole bunch of people on the chat. So if you want to do that, if you have a question during this, you know, that you want to make sure you get answered, or if it's a question that you have that you want answered at the end, you can do that as well. All right. Are we all ready to go? Yay. I'm going to just listen in over the ethers for your yay. Okay, so if you're on the web, you can go ahead and just type in yay, and that you're ready to go. And I'm going to just go in because we have a lot to cover. And if you stay to the end, I really encourage you to stay to the end. I'm going to give you something special, and it's basically a checklist related to some stuff that we're going to talk about today. And I'll let you know what that is and where to get it, and I'll be putting the link in the chat box. So I'll be encouraging everybody to go to the chat box. I'll also speak it out loud. So why is our approach different? Why is the approach I'm going to be sharing with you different? Well, it's different from conventional medicine in the obvious ways, right? We're not looking for a this for that approach. What do you do? What herbs do you take for fibromyalgia? What herbs do you take for depression? We're not looking at that. We're looking at how do we understand in each individual client, what are the underlying imbalances that are creating a problem? Okay, that are creating a problem. So why is this approach different? Because we are going to go for what we're going to go for what's going on under there. And a lot of like I said, holistic practitioners or what, they're looking for that, the solution in terms of protocols. And whereas I will, you know, write out for people in my practitioner program, I will write that out. Like, here's some ways that you approach this, but it's not like here's what you take. Here are some of the herbs and here are the interactions and here are the indications for these herbs or these foods or these lifestyle changes. And then you're going to personalize it for each person. So it's different because each person is different. And we're going to address that uniqueness in looking at things. And for those of you who are new to me, I've been in clinical practice for 23 years. I went through my own health challenges 30 years ago, where I had these symptoms, the chronic fatigue and the allergies and headaches and burning in my stomach and all sorts of woes. And I went through the medical route and wasn't getting any help. And finally, when the doctor said, just take ulcer medication for the rest of your life. No, not because you have an ulcer, but because it'll help. What was he doing? Suppressing symptoms, right? So when I heard that, a birdie in my head said, what about nutrition? Could it be my diet? My diet is really bad. Long story short, I got myself well, learned about cleansing and detoxification and nutrients and balance, got myself well and decided, the heck with computers. I'm tired of assessing problems with computers all day long. I'm going to help people and help them assess what's going on really with them the way I did not get helped when I needed it and created over the last 23 years after going back to chiropractic school, getting a certification in acupuncture, master's in nutrition, herbal 2-year herbal program, heart math, gathered all this great information to put to use and have put together protocols over the last few years. But why I do what I do is to help people. And I feel really bad that I wasn't able to help my own family members. On the left, you'll see my mom and dad and my sister. They didn't think I had anything good to say. And actually, they died really early on in my training. So, well, at least my mom and dad. So they didn't really have the benefit of all the years of protocols. And maybe I could have reached them in a different way. But they weren't willing to make changes. And my mom, 56 years old, this picture is a month before she passed on, She died suddenly of a heart attack. And she was a smoker. What she's drinking in that picture, I wish was a green smoothie, but it's a green beer because it was St. Patrick's Day. And my dad, it was actually 3 weeks before she died. Ooh, my dad, Italian, my mom, Irish, and they'd have their little battle and they'd wear their shirts. You can't really see the shirt my mom's wearing, but it says life is too short not to be Irish. So they had their little battles. This was the last picture of them taken together. I think it might have been the last picture taken of her. And she died on April 4th, my birthday. So that must have been 3 weeks later. So this is 3 weeks before she died. She didn't know she had a heart problem, but she smoked and she ate crappy food and wouldn't listen to me about, you know, at least taking vitamin C with every cigarette to try to counter some of the negative effects. So my goal is to help reach more people. And that's why I train you guys, is because I can't reach them all alone. I want people like my parents to have access to this kind of information so that they can be saved. And so their kids can be spared the intense pain of losing a parent. My dad died 2 years after my mom. He was just so distraught and lonely, and he was 62 or 64. My sister, the one at the bottom, she died about 6 years ago in 2008, and she came down with lymphoma, and she had 3 months, basically, and they told her it was, oh, yeah, we can help you. Come and do the chemo and the radiation and all this stuff. Nobody talked to her about her diet. She was in the hospital, and she was drinking apple juice from a jar. She was eating all the, you know, hospital food. I went there to stay with her to try to get some things changed and try to get them to give her some green juices in her feeding tube. And it was very frustrating. Nobody was listening. And she died. Very painful, very uncomfortable death. And I'm dedicated to helping that. I know she was obese. She ate mostly junk food. And I know that people can be spared this by changing it. Because I know a lot of folks who have gotten a diagnosis like that, decided that they were going to live, made these lifestyle and diet and nutrient changes that we're going to talk about, and survived. So I'm dedicated to saving those people, to saving your family members, the family members of all your clients, by helping you to get results with people and get through to them, and for us to make this a movement. And I will say, since my parents died, my mom died in 91 and my dad in 93, since then, nutrition has become so much more widespread. Gluten-free is a buzzword. Low glycemic is a buzzword. So it's getting there. On the right-hand side is my current family, and they're a big part of it. And I've raised them on amazing food. My sons are now 16 and 20. In the picture on the right, I put that up there. That was my son 2 years ago. He's in college now. He's 20 now. He was 18 there. I was the exact same age in that picture as my mom is in that other picture, if you look across the way. So there we are. It just different, you know. I feel different. When she was that age, she would go out and she would do some gardening for a few hours, but then she'd have to take a nap, right? She had arthritis. She'd already had skin cancers removed. She had chronic bladder infections and gallbladder things. She had all kinds of issues going on that I don't have, and I'm now 2 years older than where she was when she died. So I want to prevent that, because aging does not have to be that you get old, you get symptoms, and you die. Aging can be you get more powerful, more excited, more into your own, like, wow, what can I do to change the world? And that's what it's been for me, and that's what I want it to be for you. And that picture was, I was not like that in my 20s. When I was in my 20s, I was exhausted all the time. I was drinking caffeine and sugar to stay awake, so I didn't even know I was exhausted. I just thought I always had this exuberance and this hyperness to me, and nobody would have thought of me as exhausted. But now, knowing what I know now, I look back, I was exhausted. My digestion was shot. I had headaches all the time. I was spacey, all that. I just had no idea what was going to happen to me in my life. If this was what it was like in my 20s, what was it going to be like in my 50s? And I'm so excited to report back that the 50s are better than ever, that my energy is through the roof. That I did a marathon the year I turned 50. I've done several triathlons in my 50s, and life goes on, you know. So that's what I want for you and for your clients, and that's possible. So you probably have something that drives you to do what you do, something that's really like, oh, you know, whether it's your own health struggle, the health struggle of someone in your family, or just watching suffering around you and being passionate about helping people to change. My boys have been raised on whole foods since birth. Vegetables at every meal, and they are extraordinarily healthy. I have another picture that I posted on Facebook a couple of weeks ago from our vacation. It's those guys on the beach with their chests bared, and they look like, you know, just like specimens of health. And that's what we want for our clients. That's why we're here and doing what we do. So just as a quick review, and that's on page 3 of your handout, a review of the HPAT. We went through that in great detail. That's the interactions between the hypothalamus, the master control, the pituitary, like what I like to call the slave driver, the adrenals, which are the keep you alive in the face of danger, and the thyroid, which controls metabolic rate. And the interactions between these need to be addressed and looked at in every condition, every patient, every client that you are looking at, because there's likely, if they're not great, just work on their digestion or their sex hormones, but you'll see some of the interactions as we go through, it's unlikely. So you really always want to look for what's going on here, and then of course digestion, which we'll talk about later as well, the critical pieces. So what do all these symptoms, overdiagnosed and frequently misunderstood, have in common? And their syndromes, their conditions, and their wastebasket diagnosis in some cases. And usually when they're diagnosed, the doctor has no clue why. Chronic fatigue. Why is this person tired? They don't even look to see that, yeah, the Cheetos that they're eating and the dairy and the gluten that they're allergic to that they're eating and the digestive issues that they're taking Maalox for, or they're taking antacids that's shutting off their stomach acid, which impairs their absorption of protein and minerals. No doc's looking at that, but you can. You can be the one that looks at that. And systematic, when you have a systematic approach to this, your brain fires. Okay, let me ask them about their digestion. What's going on with that? Let's get some stomach acid flowing. Let's get them on some bitters or some, you know, the green juices to try to stimulate the juices in their digestive tract. Let's get them on some enzymes or stomach acid if need be, so that we can get them absorbing protein and we can get them absorbing minerals and get their flora balanced. And I'm getting ahead of myself, but we're going to talk more about those specifics. I get excited about this. I get passionate. So forgive my enthusiasm, because we've got to get to the heart of these things. Why do they have fibromyalgia? And fibromyalgia is kind of, again, a wastebasket diagnosis, but there's some specific points that have been identified that are very tender on the body of people with fibromyalgia. It's basically, myalgia is muscle pain and fibro is connective tissue. So it's the pain in the muscle tissue and the connective tissue, and it's inflammation. It's all caused by inflammation, and we're going to look at what some of the underlying causes might be. Depression. I mean, there's so many causes for depression. Yeah, you know, your cat died. You can be depressed for 2 or 3 days, but then you go on. But if that depression lingers for 2 or 3 months, and you're not able to function, then there's a problem with your brain chemistry. But what's causing the problem with the brain chemistry is what I like to look at. Why is the brain chemistry out of balance? Yes, there may be some genetic things. Yes, there may be some environmental things. There may be some toxic things. We got to get to the heart of it. Got to correct the underlying causes. And then mood swings. You know, mood swings. Yeah, today I'm good. Yeah, I'm irritable. That can be related to blood sugar imbalances. It could be related to adrenals. It could be related to so many things. But what is the conventional medicine approach to mood swings? Put them on really strong antipsychotic drugs. And for major depressive disorders, major bipolar, yeah, those drugs can be life-saving, but they have to be in conjunction with looking at the underlying biochemistry. And those things can be reduced and in some cases even eliminated when proper attention is made. And even if they can't, you're helping that person to get that, and of course working with their doctor. Never ever ever tell somebody to stop their medication, because you think that what you're giving them is going to help. So that's a word of caution from a legal standpoint. You never say that. You say, always say, when you're working with somebody with depression or anybody that's on medication for that matter, make sure that you're checking in with your doctor frequently, because your symptoms may change and you may have a lowering of your blood pressure or blood sugar. You may have a decrease in your depression and you don't want to get to the point where the side effects of the depressant, antidepressant medications are affecting you negatively. So these are chronic conditions you're going to see a lot of in your practice. So let's look at the vicious cycle. So go to page 4. And you've got this exact picture. And as we go through, I'm going to be clicking through and filling in this chart, the vicious cycle. So what's the vicious cycle? And a lot of you have heard this before, but I can't stress it enough, okay? Stress is the underlying piece to this, stress. And we'll talk a little bit, in a little bit, I'll give you a complete list of all the different stressors. Because stress is not just, I'm upset because my cat died. Stress is not just the boss is putting too many deadlines on me, or I don't have enough money, or the kids are out of hand. Stress comes in many ways, shapes, and forms. There's physiologic stress, there's psychologic stress. There's chemical stress, there's environmental stress. And we'll explore that a little bit. But the underlying is there's some sort of stress on the body. Because if there's no stress on the body, then the body should be working perfectly. But at some point, maybe not now, maybe it was early on, there was a stress on the body. Okay? And it could be a genetic stress. Okay, we can talk about that. So somebody could have been born with this stress, but it's a stress. It's like it's something the body is not able to withstand, not able to tolerate, not able to create balance as a result of. So you have the stress, and whether the stress is the tiger chasing you or the finances or an infection somewhere, the adrenals are key. They come into the picture and they say, okay, we have the stress. What do? Creates a set of hormones, one of which is cortisol, one of which is adrenaline. And if you don't know the distinction between, adrenaline comes in quick and out. You know, that rush you get when you're on the roller coaster ride and then it settles down. It's that rush you get at the first sign of danger, the heart rate is going, and then it settles to more of a tolerable, it's not so high. That's adrenaline versus cortisol comes in to kind of facilitate the response that adrenaline needs and to prolong the effects of that. And we'll look at the exact effects of that in a little bit. Okay. And all the things that cortisol does that help you in the face of danger are the ones that are creating these chronic conditions in your clients and patients. And I'm going to show you how. The next piece is blood sugar. So what happens when you get a rush of adrenaline and cortisol? We need blood sugar because the whole point is there's danger, Will Robbins, there's danger. So we need to run away. We need to fight. We need to be able to somehow combat that stress so that we can stay alive. And again, whatever the stress is perceived in the body, the adrenals kick in with the same mechanism. So the blood sugar goes up. And what happens when the blood sugar goes up is that we need an influx of insulin. What happens when we get an influx of insulin? We'll look at this in more detail in a bit. When we look at more insulin, it's inflammatory, right? It affects blood vessel linings, makes them stiff, so contributes to things like high blood pressure and cardiovascular disease, pain, inflammation. Get the picture with the whole thing with the fibromyalgia? Okay, so blood sugar, critical. But then we have the other part of the thing is digestion. And digestion, we'll see some of the cross connections in a bit, but the digestion is impaired by the adrenals and by the blood sugar. The digestion slows down so that you can put all the energy towards running away. And those digestive things, if the stress is chronic, those digestive issues become major issues. If it's just once, you know, every week or so, or every couple of times a week, you have to run away from a tiger. The digestion shuts down during that period of time. Everything goes back to normal. You're back into the nice low-key mode and everything's good. We'll look at that too. And thyroid. Whoops, I went one too far. Okay, so thyroid. So the digestion seriously impairs the thyroid. Digestive issues can lead to autoimmune conditions, and one of them can affect the thyroid. That's called Hashimoto's. We'll explore a little bit more about that in the next call. So we have this ring of stress, adrenals, blood sugar, digestion, thyroid. And then when the thyroid gets out of whack and the thyroid slows down the metabolic rate, that's yet another stress on the system. So it's a cycle, and we need to break it. And the way we break it is by systematically, you know, going through and addressing the stress, addressing each of these to build back up and getting the person into a state of equilibrium again. But in addition to this cycle, there's some pollution of the cycle, because digestion, just the fact that you've got either an infection in the gut or you've got undigested food particles because the digestive enzymes get slowed down as a result of the adrenals, as a result of cortisol. So that creates a problem. So draw these arrows into your diagram so you recall this and take notes, however you want to take notes on this. The digestion is a stress. Infections, leaky gut, lack of proper enzymes, dysbiosis. You've probably heard that term. That's when there's bad life growing in your gut. That's when you've got candida overgrowth or fungal overgrowth or a parasite, an imbalance, an insufficiency of good digestive flora. And the good news about these things, we can help people balance these. The standard medical approach does not address any of this. It's just, oh, you have digestive issues? Here, take some antacids. Take some Imodium. Whatever the problem is, take some laxative. Get some Metamucil. But nobody's looking at root causes. And that's what we're creating here is a picture, a way that you can look at root causes. Thyroid and blood sugar. And again, we'll look at these in a little bit more detail in a bit. But the blood sugar affects the thyroid affects the blood sugar. So if the thyroid is sluggish, the mechanism, the cell's mechanism, the insulin receptors are going to be sluggish, and they're not going to be able to act the way they should to help take the sugar into the blood. But if the blood sugar is, at the thyroid's out of balance, it creates problems with the blood sugar. And I have a slide on that later, which I'll share with you on how the thyroid affects the uptake of glucose to the cells, how it affects the uptake of glucose in the digestive tract. And then we have blood sugar stress, right? So blood sugar, elevations of blood sugar and high levels of insulin are another stress on the system. It's yet another source of the stress, and the cycle continues. Does that make sense? When you have high blood sugar, the body's going, high blood sugar, got to get it down, got to get the pancreas involved, got to get those hormones going. And when it doesn't go down, the body finally gives up and stores that extra blood sugar as fat. So the person is tired and fat instead of energized and lean. And then finally, we've got the connection with, we have two more connections. We have the thyroid and the adrenals. The thyroid and adrenals are critical connection because of the connection at the HPAT, because of the connection with the hypothalamus and the pituitary. And we see that the adrenals, when the cortisol is up, we have a problem with thyroid receptors on the cells. It damages them. It decreases their effectiveness, causes more of the conversion of T4 into reverse T3 instead of T3. So the person has less T3, which means less energy. We'll go into more detail on the thyroid. So if T4, T3 is still relatively new to you, we'll go into more of that on our next presentation. I'm trying to present this to you in layers because, like I said, I can't tell you everything I know in an hour and a half. I just can't. And I can't tell you everything you need to know in an hour and a half either. You'd be overwhelmed, even if I could. You know, if I could talk fast enough to get it in, you still wouldn't absorb it. And then the other thing that the adrenals affect and cortisol affects is the conversion from T4 to T3, and it damages that conversion. It damages the enzyme, or it actually lowers that enzyme. And finally, we've got the adrenal digestion connection, which is huge and people don't realize. When you're under stress or your client's under stress, the digestion is supposed to slow down, right? Because if you're running away from a tiger and you stop to eat something and digest, you're going to become lunch. You've heard me say that over and over, and I just keep saying it because it's a picture that you can see, right? Adrenals say, oh, we have to focus on running away. We have to focus on sending blood and energy to the extremities, not the digestive tract. So the lubrication to the digestive tract slows down. The enzymes slow down. The stomach acid slows down. The bile slows down. The valves shut, which means you can get constipation, but also that bloating feeling because the digested food is not passing the the waste products are not passing in from the small to the large intestine. Lots of ways that this is effective. I'll show you a few more diagrams to really cement it. Right now I'm giving you the big picture. Is this helpful? Hopefully this is helpful. And I don't see any Skypes, so I'm just going to keep checking over to make sure Lynn isn't Skyping me, that we haven't lost our visual connection or audio connection. So you guys are with me. This is great. Make sure you write these in on your diagram. It's on page 4 of your handout, because you're going to remember this when you write it in as I go through it. And then there's the two-way connection between digestion and adrenals, because if you've got leaky gut and you've got inflammation in your gut, or you've got an infection in your gut, it's another source of stress. So it's going to affect the relationship to cortisol. And I probably should have pushed that up to stress rather than to adrenals. So if you draw from digestion to stress, because it's just yet another source of stress on the body, which then starts the cycle over and goes to the adrenals. Make sense? So what are these stressors? I told you, I promised you I would tell you, it's not just mental and emotional stress like we think, you know, finances, work, family, blah, 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 blah. But it's also digestive stress. It could be infections. It could be leaky gut. It could be villus atrophy from long-term gluten consumption in someone who's gluten intolerant. And quite frankly, I think anybody that has any kind of illness, sickness, symptoms is probably gluten intolerant. And in fact, on the Gluten Summit, some of the world-renowned experts in gluten studies said they don't think that anybody should eat gluten, because the way it's been hybridized, the way it's the structure of the molecule, nobody really digests it well. So we should all, anybody that has symptoms, start with getting them on a cleaner diet. And gluten, getting them off of gluten is important. Really understanding that is important too. Inflammation anywhere. So if you have an injury and you injure your elbow and there's inflammation, that's adrenaline rush, right? You're not adrenaline so much as cortisol. Your body's perceiving that as an emergency and is having to rush things to the area, chemicals to the area, to create the inflammation going down. I'll give you an example of inflammation causing stress. Last year, I broke my arm, had to have surgery. I was in the surgery and I hadn't had anything to eat, of course, since midnight the night before, because that's what they tell you. I'd had a little bit of water and I had the surgery, and I came out of the surgery. Well, first of all, my blood pressure was elevated and I never have high blood pressure. And I came out of the surgery and I tested my blood sugar, and it was like 145. My blood sugar was 145, and I didn't have anesthetics. I was not on an anesthetic which could have caused that. My blood sugar went up, and it took 2 days for the blood sugar to settle down. And all I was doing was drinking greens and green smoothies and ginger juice and all that. So that's it. And I've also worked with people who, we've done this great job of getting their gut cleaned and their thyroid, and they're feeling better, and their psoriasis is gone and their arthritis is gone. And then they had a car accident and got banged up and got traumatized, and the inflammation and the trauma and the stress of that, and some of their symptoms started coming back. Another stress is food stress, big time in our society, right? The standard American diet is loaded with stress. Hydrogenated fats, white flour, all kinds of chemicals and additives and pesticides and things that we can't even always say the names of. Food stress is huge. Food allergens is another one. Oops. Obesity is another one. You know, when we have a lot of fat on the body, it's producing inflammatory chemicals. It's producing extra excess hormones. It's producing extra wear and tear on the body. And then we have immune system imbalance. So if you've got an autoimmune condition going on, your body's attacking itself. You've got allergens in your diet that you're eating and your body's attacking. You've got an infection, immune system stuff, and you don't have the right raw materials for your immune system to act properly. Injuries, I hit on that when I talked about inflammation, but injuries can be a major stress. They are a major stress to the body, and they will change the effects of things in the body. Toxic exposures. You know, we're exposed to toxics all the time. Of course, the air outside is polluted with various and sundry things. And depending on where you live, it's more or less toxic. If you're in LA, it's a lot different than if you're living up, you know, in Durango, Colorado. Big difference. But there's still toxins in the air, and a lot of the radiation that's happened, radiation spills have gotten into the air. So we don't even have, I don't think, really clean air probably anywhere. But we can't worry about that, because then that gives us a mental and emotional stress. We just have to control what we can. Indoor toxins, right? The stuff people paint with, the stuff with the new carpets. Really important when you're doing an intake with somebody to figure out what's going on is asking them about toxic exposures. Have you recarpeted your home within the last few years? Have you repainted your house? When was the onset of symptoms in relationship to getting a new pet, or, you know, getting the house, the pesticide guys to come out to the house? Really questioning those toxic exposures. And then on top of that, there's the toxic exposures of the stuff that people put on their skins. Have you read the labels on them? There's PCBs, there's phthalates, there's all kinds of chemicals that disrupt the endocrine balance. And at our Shine conference, we have our super whiz expert, Donna, going to talk about how those toxins, which, you know, places they lurk that you can help people to avoid and how that works. And even the food storage containers. I recently replaced all my plastics with glass, because when you're putting food into those containers, they're leaching some of the plastic contaminants like PCBs into the and BPA into the food. So sleep, this is huge. And there's the vicious cycle comes in again, because if you've got some of these other things going on, it's hard to sleep, right? So once you create the problems, you end up with the sleep. So you have to do some of the chicken and the egg analysis, like which came first. Did they get sick because they weren't sleeping well, or they weren't sleeping well because they have all these imbalances? And sometimes you just never figure it out. You just have to get in there and break it. What are all the things related? We're not going to go into sleep too much today. We don't have time. That's a whole lecture of itself. Eating too close to bedtime. People don't realize what a big stress this is on the system. Your body, the body is beautifully designed to, during the night, cleanse, detoxify, burn fat, put on lean. And if you eat too close to bedtime, it shuts that down. If you eat too close to bedtime, growth hormone spikes don't occur the way they're supposed to, and people are going to get fat even though they're not eating too many excess calories, because they're turning off the growth hormone and turning on insulin. There's an inhibitory reaction between those two. Your other hormones, your restorative hormones, really important during sleep. Your leptin to control appetite. These are all stressors on the body. When you eat too close to bedtime and the body can't cleanse, there's a buildup of toxins throughout the day next, and imbalances in the hormones. So those are, and then infection. The infection can be anywhere. It could be in a joint. It could be hidden in a joint. It could be hidden in a skin lesion that didn't quite all the way heal. It could be in the gut. It could be, you know, a chronic Epstein-Barr from an old case of mono. And it's really important that we look at when somebody is meditating and they're doing all kinds of things and you don't see that their adrenals are getting better, you got to look for these physiological things. Make sense? So that was on page 6. Okay. So let's look at 5 key. Oh, it looks like my pages got out of order. So we should, now we'll go back to page 5. It looks like page 5 is where this is. 5 keys to breaking the vicious cycle. And make sure that you never let go of evaluating for which of these keys might be involved, right? And not surprisingly, the keys are going to be what? Related to the vicious cycle and the points in the vicious cycle. So we're going to look at each of these in depth. And the first key is manage stress. So on your page 5, write manage stress into the first box. It's critical that you have tools in your arsenal for you to share with your clients to help them to manage their stress. And I'm going to just take a quick water break because I feel my voice giving out. That'll give you a chance to write as well. Okay, so you need to have tools in your arsenal. You may already have these, and you may be looking to colleagues or other sources for finding these. For example, the Institute of Heart Math, or a tapping resource. So we've got good old yoga. I mean, yoga is amazing for helping people to manage their stress, not reduce their stress. HeartMath is an amazing resource. I use it all the time. That's where you have somebody really tune in to the feeling of appreciation and the heart rate and breathing and maybe pulling up a spot. I call it a mini vacation, which is why this picture is just, I love this picture. And it's basically the heart rhythms, the heart variability. And if you need more information about that, go to heartmath.org. Amazing resources there. And you can send your clients there. You can have them get a book called Transforming Stress. Highly recommend that you get familiar with this as well, because it's a super important process. Yoga, meditation, chakra balancing, whatever tools you have in your arsenal, use them. Meridian tapping, whatever tools you have for helping people to manage the stress. Now, we can take it a step further in terms of reducing stress. And that's a bigger issue, because sometimes the stresses are not going to go away. You know, the person is dealing with elderly parents. So it's how they manage the stress. We can't always get rid of those external stresses. Yes, get rid of as many as you can. If somebody needs to quit their job or get divorced, and quite frankly, that's happened to my clients when I worked with them, is after a while they go, you know what, I'm dumping this guy because it's just too much stress, or I'm getting a new career, or I'm moving. And those are some of the hard choices that people make. It's not up to you to actually overtly recommend that, unless you feel totally comfortable with the person, but to kind of help them to see how much this is hurting them and help them to make those choices. It's a process. Whoops. Yeah. So those are the things for stress. And let's look at repairing and recharging the adrenals. So it's one thing to get rid of the exterior stress, to manage those stresses. But I'll tell you a quick story. One of my colleagues said that she had just been through some massive stuff with work. It was ending. Her adrenals were shot. He did testing. She was shot. She had all this fatigue. She said, look, before I do all the things you're telling me to do, what I'm going to do is I'm just going to take 6 months off and I'm going to the beach. I'm like, I want to be able to do that. So she did that, came back, had her adrenals tested, and they had changed, but not as much as they would have liked. They weren't completely restored. Why? Because she didn't go back in and restore the nutrients. We don't know. I don't know what she was eating at the beach. I don't know if she was juicing, because probably going to the beach and then juicing and doing really high nutrient diet might have done the trick. But if a person just says, no, I'm just going to reduce the stress, but they're not going to address the imbalances that the stress has caused, then they're going to end up in a situation. We can't go into too much detail about the adrenals today, but you know, just know that the adrenals are in a high or a low. They're either overproducing, which is usually precedes the adrenals going low, and people are feeling hyper and they can't sleep, they're wired, they have periods of tiredness. But when their adrenal gets to the point where it doesn't have the raw materials anymore, it's exhausted. And these are what they look like, and they sit on top of the kidneys. So what's their function? Well, it's safety in the face of danger, right? To try to get you to be able to run and hide. So the reflexes have to be there, as that mugger comes around the corner and you're unsuspectingly walking by, that you need to be able to respond to that. Or if there's a bear or a tiger chasing you, or a thugger, or other things in life, you need to be able to be safe and the adrenals pop in. But also to mobilize the resources. So it's not just like, okay, we're just going to have this quick adrenaline response, but it has to be able to mobilize the resources. Because if you keep having adrenaline responses, you're going to, you can't keep it up. You can pull the car off the kid that just got pinned, and then 30 seconds later, that's gone. Sometimes these stressors are going on for a long period of time, and that's where cortisol comes in. So that's on page 7. Okay, so fill that in. To safety in the face of danger, mobilize resources, and then producing hormones. And then this is what the adrenals look like. They sit on top of the kidneys. This is kind of a faded out picture, but it's the best I could find to show you where they sit. They're on top of the kidneys. They look like in that first picture. This is what they look like inside. There's an inner and an outer, the medulla, the inner zone, and the outer zone is the cortex. The cortex is where cortisol is produced, as well as DHEA and aldosterone, which controls the sodium content in the urine. So if somebody is in a state of burnout, not producing enough aldosterone, they're going to need a lot more sodium because they're peeing it away like crazy. It retains, helps to retain that. The inner is where the adrenaline and epinephrine and norepinephrine and the androgens get secreted. And we'll look at a broad picture of that in a moment. But there is a rhythm. There's a normal rhythm. Your cortisol comes up in the morning to wake you up, to get you ready for the day. But then it naturally goes down during the day. And there's ways that we can test this. And we'll look at some of those ways in our next session when we talk about the tests. Mary, you just opened up the line. Is there something going on? You just unmuted yourself. Okay, great. All right. So, these are the ways that cortisol affects the system and why it contributes to chronic fatigue, fibromyalgia, depression, and moodiness. It affects the blood pressure, the heart rate, the blood sugar, respiration, digestion, immune system, inflammation, and thyroid receptors. All of these are affected. And when the thyroid is low, it affects neurotransmitters. So that's going to affect moods. There's a very direct connection between thyroid activity and serotonin and dopamine. And we can look at that a little bit more detailed on our next call. But the fibromyalgia, you know, we have the immune system, inflammation, right? So cortisol can be contributing to all of these problems. Whoops. That's what yours looks like, and you can fill those in, and I'll go back to it. I didn't mean to leave that slide in. So blood pressure, just write it down. Blood pressure, heart rate, blood sugar, respiration, digestion, immune system, inflammation, and thyroid receptors. That's the effects of cortisol, and it's widespread throughout the body, which is why stress is a big contributing factor to fibromyalgia, depression, and moodiness, and fatigue. Is it the only factor? No. It's not, but it's something that absolutely has to be looked at as a cornerstone issue. Okay, quick. I'm just showing you this quick. We go into way more detail at this at Shine, just a shameless plug for Shine because I don't have time to go through all this today, but I just want you to see the connection between cortisol and the rest of the system. And I just given you the picture. I didn't make you fill it out on page 9, but it's that cortisol affects on other hormones, right? The adrenals make a bunch of hormones, and these are some of the intermediates, and these are some of the pathways. And guess what's their top? Cholesterol. Cholesterol, who's considered the bad guy, is actually the precursor to the hormones, and then pregnenolone and progesterone. But if you're producing a lot of, the orange is cortisol, if you're producing a lot of that, or your client's producing a lot of that because of the stress in the system, it's stealing away the pregnenolone. It's stealing it to make cortisol, because what's more important, creating a nice menstrual cycle or getting away from a healthy tiger? What's more important, having a sex drive or getting away from a hungry tiger? The body preferentially makes cortisol with the precursor if it needs to, because it perceives a lot of stress. And that's why sometimes you have to be a little careful in when you're dealing with this. And I only recommend supplementing with some of these hormones and precursors after you've done a test, because you can muck it up, because you have to go slowly. If somebody is given more pregnenolone and they're not working at reducing the stress, they may just create more cortisol and not more DHEA, testosterone, progesterone, and all the rest. So we'll go into way more detail of this about Shine and how it all connects, and I'll build it for you so you really understand. But think of cortisol as a stealer. Some places they call it the cortisol steal, others call it the pregnenolone steal. It's because cortisol is stealing the pregnenolone. And just think about that. So if somebody's having issues that are hormonally related, you don't just go and give them something to calm their hot flashes or calm their PMS. You look at the underlying stress and you help to balance that. And yes, you can give people symptomatic relief. If you know that, you know, black cohosh does a great job of calming down somebody's hot flashes, by all means, but don't stop there. And it's just a little bit of me getting on my soapbox, why it's so important. And I see it all the time. That's why I'm so... So, five parts to doing your rebalancing the adrenals. Write these down. These are the things you're going to have to work with your clients on, whether they're coming in with fatigue, fibromyalgia, mood swings, depression, or other symptoms related to stress. You've got to start with building the foundation of diet and lifestyle. It doesn't mean that you can't at the same time be giving them herbs and nutrients and bioidenticals. It doesn't mean that you first have to do the diet, and when they get all the diet stuff done, then you move on. No, but if you're just giving them bioidentical hormones or nutrients without addressing the underlying food, movement, sleep, ability to respond to stress in a very strong way, chilling them out, then you're not going to get the results long term. You may get short term results, but you're not going to get the results long term. Okay? Detox, everyday detox strategies, avoiding all those toxins we talked about earlier, getting rid of the plastics and not drinking out of those plastic water bottles after they've been sitting in the car, getting rid of the cosmetics that are loaded with hormone disrupting chemicals, using more natural stuff. On the skin, coconut oil is a really good moisturizer. You don't need all these fancy things with perfumes. So it's really, as you're seeing here, working with your clients is not a matter of having a visit with them and sending them on their way with a protocol, which I used to think when I started out, I'll just give them a protocol and tell them what to do. You're working with step by step by step, helping them to make these changes so that they build on it. Some people are ready to just jump right in, but some people need to be given it. You have to identify what's the biggest piece, the biggest bang for the buck right now. And in some cases, and I know some hormone docs do this, they go right to giving them the hormones and then they're able to better work on the lifestyle. It just depends on the person. Know that with bioidentical hormones, for things like estrogen and testosterone, those are prescription only. Although there are some herbs that will help that beyond the scope of this. However, we will go into that in our nutritional endocrinology certification program when we get to the reproductive system. There are also ways that you can get bioidentical hormones over the counter. Progesterone, DHEA, and pregnenolone are still available over the counter. Love the FDA with how consistent they are, but thank you, because those are very helpful when I have somebody coming in and they're in stage 3 adrenal fatigue and I want to get them reversed and they don't even have the energy to make food, let alone to make juices and all the things I need them to do. So I can look at their lab and I can figure out from that lab, and you'll learn exactly how to do that at Shine. I'll give you some charts and teach you how to do that. But know how to supplement with over-the-counter DHEA, pregnenolone, and sometimes progesterone to help support that cycle while you're working on the food, the movement, the chilling out, the detox strategies, and then, of course, herbs and superfoods. So I'm going to give you a little quick list of some of the top nutrients. So make sure you have that down. You'll still be on the same page, and you can write down some of these herbs. So on the vitamin end, vitamin C is super important. It's one of the adrenals use more of it than any other part of the body. Vitamin B5, pantothenic acid in large quantities, like almost 500 milligrams three times a day, appears to be what's needed. Some people, vitamin B6, and everybody needs to have their vitamin D checked. Listen up. Everybody has to have their vitamin D checked. You might make exception for somebody who's living at the equator and does manual labor outdoors. They'll likely have enough. But especially folks in Canada and the northern part of the U.S., where 6 months out of the year, they don't get enough direct sunlight to even make the vitamin D. So it's an important piece to be supplementing, but I also recommend testing, because you can so easy to miss it and not give them enough, or easy to miss and give them too much. So you're having time to write these down while I speak about them. Trace minerals, super important. Selenium, zinc, iron, and magnesium. A lot of the trace minerals you can get in food. You can get in sea vegetables. A lot of them you can't. And if you're going to supplement, I always recommend ionic liquids. Always recommend ionic liquids. It's just the best way. Antioxidants, glutathione, SOD, vitamins A, C, and E. That's ACE. And amino acids, the most important ones are tyrosine and phenylalanine, because tyrosine is a direct precursor to making adrenaline, and then phenylalanine is a precursor to that. Some herbs, these are just a few of the herbs. Ashwagandha, very gentle, very safe. Rhodiola, tulsi, and licorice. Rhodiola, you have to be careful about dosing, because actually too low a dose of rhodiola can actually be overstimulating. So in people who are very low adrenal, you may want to give them low dose. And people who are high adrenal, you can give them high levels to calm things down. Be careful with licorice, because it can raise blood pressure, but blood pressure is usually very low in people with adrenal support. So always have your client go out and test their own blood sugar, blood pressure. And if you are, you know, a clinician in an office and can test it for them, make sure you have it monitored. And then finally, what should we be doing with foods? Low glycemic, avoid gluten and good fats. We're going to see this as a theme throughout. Low glycemic, avoid gluten and good fats. And when I describe to you the blood sugar, you're going to see why. And that's what we're doing next. Blood sugar. I love to get people measuring their blood sugar. I have them buy a blood sugar meter. I've pictured on the slide or in your presentation, I've pictured the little one that I use. I have three of them sitting at my desk right now, and I check them periodically to make sure that if I see a weird number, like, whoa, that's kind of weird, and I check them. It's really important to have people know what they should eat to balance their blood sugar based on what their body's telling them, not by what a glycemic index chart, which is hundreds of thousands of people who are fed 100 grams of carbohydrate of a particular food. And if your client is out of whack, they may not be able to tolerate 100 grams of carbohydrate at one sitting, but they can easily tolerate 5 or 10, and you've got to figure out what that balance is. Of course, we never want them eating sugar or agave or maple syrup or any of the refined sugars. That's not going to keep the body in balance. And then there's this little picture, and we go into way more of this in our insulin resistance practitioner training. We'll go a little bit more into it. We'll touch on it a little bit at Shine, and we go into way major detail in our practitioner training, our certification. So let's look a little bit about blood sugar, okay? And you can turn to page 11 in your thing. That's where you can take notes on this. Am I going too fast? If I'm going too fast, raise your hand, start two, and I'll slow down. I tend to be able to talk a mile a minute. My mom used to say when I was a kid that I was vaccinated with a phonograph needle. For those of you who are young, you don't even know what a phonograph needle is, but a phonograph needle, you know, in the olden days, we had the LPs and the 45s, and we put it on and it was a turntable, and some of those are still around. But anyway, nobody's raising their hand, so that's good. Okay, good. I'll take a deep breath. So normal blood sugar management is critical to solving these chronic problems. Because if the sugar's up and down, what do you think? You're going to get mood swings? Yeah. If the sugar's low and high, you're going to get depression? Yeah. Blood sugar management involves inflammation when the insulin gets too high? Yeah. So it's all involved. And chronic fatigue? Sure. If you have imbalance in blood sugar management, the person's not able to get the sugar from the blood into the cells. And so they have this high blood sugar, but no energy. So blood sugar is critical to all of those conditions that we're talking about today. So it involves three areas, mainly the pancreas, the liver, and the adrenals. The pancreas produces the hormones. Glucagon and insulin are the major ones. The liver then stores sugar, glycogen, and is called upon to release that to maintain blood sugar. Like glucagon will say, hey, the blood sugar is going too low, liver, give me some of the stored sugar as glucagon, and it releases that. And then the adrenals step in terms of blood sugar management when the normal routes are not working. When the insulin's not getting the sugar into the cells, when the liver is out of glycogen or it's become insulin resistant itself and can't do gluconeogenesis very well. And the adrenals will come in and shoot out the cortisol, the adrenaline basically, and then the cortisol. Adrenaline will do the quick flash, will actually get burn fat. But how long is adrenaline in the system? 30 seconds? You can't rely on adrenaline for fat burning. So then the cortisol is another thing that will help bring that blood sugar up when need be. And what it does is goes for muscle. It goes for breaking down muscle because it's easy. It can turn it into glucose. Okay? So that's what happens. Fat has to be burned as is. Fat can't get turned into glucose, but we have an ability to burn fat for fuel when we allow that mechanism to kick in. Blood sugar gets too high, we secrete insulin. Blood sugar gets too low, we secrete glucagon. Nice balance. And no matter how long you go between meals, that balance should be maintained. No matter whether it's 6 hours, 2 hours, 8 hours, or 12 hours, you should be able to maintain that. So when somebody says, oh, I just have hypoglycemia, it's normal, I have to eat every 2 hours. No, you don't. That's not a normal way that the body is designed to be. It's made to be so that we can have feast and famine. Drinking. Had to take another drink, sorry. Okay, feast or famine is common. That's what the olden days we did, right? We were out there as cavemen. We'd find food and we wouldn't. Feast or famine. The body is supposed to be able to handle this without going into major stress. We talked about how the blood sugar management can be affected by stress earlier. We said that we got to get blood sugar out there so you can run away from the tiger, right? It's affected by the diet, right? Eating a lot of sugar, eating a lot of processed foods, even eating a lot of the fats that damage the insulin receptors, eating foods filled with chemicals that damage the insulin receptors. It's also affected by the genetics, and there are people who are in that mode where they have to be very careful. I personally happen to be one of them, got my genetics tested. I have got genes that affect blood sugar management, and that's about 25% of the population has to be super, super careful, so that even eating a good diet, you have to be really careful about the carbs, the fruits, etc., or else the sugar is going to go up and the insulin receptors are going to go down. And in the other end of the spectrum on the genetic side, 25% of the population, you're like, wow, I'm jealous, because they can eat anything and they don't ever have problems with the sugar going up, okay? And then in the middle is those people who have to just, you know, be careful and do the things that we talk about, but don't have to be the ultra careful like me and like other people that I've worked with. And you just have to help your client figure out where they are and just like own it and live up to it. So, okay, we're going to turn to page 12 in your handout, and the normal insulin response to food is you eat, you have the blood sugar rises, the pancreas secretes insulin, and this is just a review, I just said this, right? The insulin escorts the glucose into the cells, then the blood glucose goes down. The leptin levels rise and trigger fat burning, because the sugar's not in the blood anymore, right? The pancreas stops secreting insulin. You get increased energy because the glucose in the cells is converted to ATP. And after a while, you get hungry again because you're tired of burning fat, or you don't have enough fat. Or the stomach is empty and it secretes ghrelin and says, okay, we haven't had food in a while, feed me. This process can go on, but there's a lot of places where it can break down. In the year-long training, we've gone through, you know, places in the Krebs cycle where it can break down, processes where it can break down in terms of the insulin response. There's a lot of ways that this can break down. But you have to just know for now that it can break down. And what you need to do is get people in balance. Because when it's out of balance, this is what it looks like. You eat, the blood sugar rises, the pancreas secretes insulin. All the same, right? But the cells are resistant to insulin, so the glucose remains high. So the pancreas secretes even more insulin. The excess sugar is stored as fat. The excess insulin damages the blood vessels. You get hungry again right after the meal. So if you have somebody that says, I eat, but I'm hungry after I eat, I'm even more hungry after I eat, that's a sign that they've got insulin resistance and you got to work with their blood sugar. And that can be a major contributing factor to their chronic fatigue, their fibromyalgia, their depression, and their mood swings, right? Because the body is just not getting the fuel it needs. It's just storing more fat, and fat creates inflammation. So the results of insulin resistance, that's the top of page 12 in your handout, prolonged inhibition of fat burning, excess belly fat, decreased lean muscle mass, damage to blood vessel linings. The reason that we get damage to blood vessel lining is that the blood vessels do not become insulin resistant and the insulin damages them. And here's the piece, systemic inflammation. So if you've got somebody with fibromyalgia and they've got inflammation in their muscles and in their fibrous tissue, the connective tissue, and you're not addressing their blood sugar, they're going to have problems with the inflammation and they're not going to be able to get it under control. So blood sugar is critical, and it's up to you to go through this vicious cycle and just determine what issues are people having. And I'm trying to give you enough of that, and we'll summarize it towards the end. They get thicker blood and higher blood pressure. They'll get water retention, which is, you know, they get fluid in their ankles and fluid in their bellies. And the bad part is it can initiate cancer through oxidative damage and insulin-like growth factor 1, which is one of the causes, one of the factors that has been associated with cancers. So we got to get this under control. How do you know if they're being in this vicious cycle, if the blood sugar is an issue? Well, if they have excess belly fat, especially if they're a thinner person, but they have a lot of fat around the middle, and you can do a waist-hip ratio and determine that. If they have low energy, especially after meals, if they're hungry even after a full meal, if they have a mid-afternoon energy slump, like they're fine all throughout, and then they have the mid-afternoon energy slump, it's usually because of something they've eaten at lunch has causes their blood sugar to spike and then go down, or the blood sugar is still spiked, but it's not getting into the cells. They have difficulty focusing. They may say that they have brain fog, ADD, and they're cranky and irritable if a meal is missed. And you'd be surprised at how many children actually have out of balance blood sugar. Well, of course, babies are supposed to do that because that's their only way to cry, to let us know, is by crying. But if that's how you feel when you don't eat a meal, if you skip a meal, you got a blood sugar problem. And that's what the questions you ask your client. So what causes it? Well, a lot of things cause it. We talked already briefly about genes, inadequate nutrition, and excess nutrition. So not eating the right kinds of foods to get the minerals and the vitamins, and I'll show you what nutrients are most critical for this. And we've turned to page 413. And lack of exercise, stress, certainly, because we talked about, right, stress causes the elevation of the blood sugar. Chronic elevation of blood sugar causes insulin resistance. Lack of exercise. Trained muscle burns sugar. Untrained muscle doesn't. So the trained muscle, really good, firm muscle that's been worked out, is going to be able to uptake that glucose, even if other cells in the body are resistant. So it's really important to exercise to improve your insulin resistance. And then, of course, poor sleep. And the studies show that even one night of poor sleep can cause insulin resistance, temporary, in a healthy person. Think about what's happening to your people with chronic poor sleep. And a lot of them with fibromyalgia, they can't sleep. So again, we're like, this is the vicious cycle, right? Because they can't sleep. That causes a worsening of their insulin resistance. Then they're eating poor foods. They're not exercising because they have chronic fatigue. They don't have the energy. We got to break the vicious cycle. And you got to break the vicious cycle by getting the nutrition in. And what I find with the blood sugar is just start with the nutrition and give them some of the supplements. We have to address the nutrition. We have to address the stress. We have to address the exercise, sleep, and timing. And timing is critical. Those people that are eating every 2 hours are adding additional stress on their system. But we also have to address supplements and write these down. I've given you an area to write these down on page 14. When I'm working with somebody who's got these chronic problems and I know that I try to get off the sugar, I try to get off the bread, but I just keep having the cravings, it's because they're in this cycle. Break the cycle by giving them some of the nutrients. Chromium polynicotinate, either 400 micrograms twice a day. I have some people do it 200 micrograms 400 times a day. I have some people do it 800 micrograms once a day. Some people do 900. Some people do as much as 1200 with people with resistant things and long-term diabetes. Magnesium, citrate, glycinate, or natural calm. I really like the liquid magnesiums. And topical magnesiums are helpful too. So I like the ionic minerals. There's one called REMAG from Dr. Carolyn Dean, who's one of the foremost experts in magnesium. There's also various companies like Good State and others like that that have really clean, pure ionic minerals. So that's where you can get magnesium. A lot of people get gut irritation from the citrate, so we go with the glycinate. But if somebody has constipation, going with the citrate might be a good way to go. So you can mix and match and really go according to your client. DHA, anywhere from 350 to 500 micrograms. I like to use algae oil based. You can use krill oil or fish oil, but you can control the amount a little bit better with the DHA, with the algae. And then zinc, anywhere from 30 to 60, and then B vitamins. So these are the critical nutrients. You get them on there and then you start working with them with the nutrition and the diet and all that sort of stuff. And that's a good, like, quick overview. We have a whole program called the Insulin Resistance Solution Practitioner Training, which is about 6 weeks long, which goes into the nitty-gritty, gives you protocols, checklists, labs, everything. But that was, you know, blood sugar balancing in a nutshell, so to speak, to just give you a start. And the next one we're going to look at is healing and optimizing the digestion. All right. And they're not necessarily in this order. Usually the order that I will go on is really looking, if there's digestive issues, I work at that first, and then the blood sugar balance, and then the adrenals. But I put it here in terms of the way that the vicious cycle works. It's almost like you're unwinding the vicious cycle. So this picture is in your slides in it. It's in its entirety, except for the bottom box where it says decreased digestive secretion. So the stress, the way it affects your gut, is there's two branches of the nervous system, parasympathetic and sympathetic. And what we want to do is help people to get more into parasympathetic, which is where digestion happens well. Sympathetic is where everything shuts down. So these are the things that can cause it, either psychological or negative mood. It can create bowel movement problems, constipation or diarrhea, or alternating pain and bloating, and the decreased digestive secretions. And that's critical. So people are eating food, and they may be eating great food, but it ain't going anywhere. There's also closing of the sphincters. So I know we're getting over, we're going over, we were supposed to end at 12:30, and I want to keep going with this, if that's okay with you. We will have this on the recording, so just so you know. And for any of you who just want to take this the next step further, just go visit Shine Live 2014, because we're going to go into way more detail on the hormones, especially the adrenal and thyroid there, and we'll go into way more detail the next time, our next one on Wednesday. This is just a picture that I've given you in your notes. You can look at it. It's just all the crazy stuff that happens when the digestion's going on with food allergies getting into the system and creating an inflammatory response. We're not going to go through that in detail, but I wanted you to have it. But the things that happen in your gut as a result of all this is that you've got a really disproportionate relationship between the good bacteria and the bad. It should be a symbiotic relationship where the good bacteria are protecting you and producing enzymes, the bad bacteria are contributing to disease. And this is a critical piece, and there's a lot of ways to address it via probiotics and via, you know, doing stool testing to see what kind of organisms they've got. But here's the thing, you get people off of gluten, you get people off of dairy, you get people off the sugars, and some people, sugar alcohols in particular, sorbitol especially, erythritol not so much, and xylitol very much so. Refined carbs, allergens, gluten, dairy, corn, soy, eggs, and peanuts are the six top, but anybody can be allergic to anything. Caffeine is too acidic, the tannins damage the lining of the gut. Alcohol damages it. For some people, they're sensitive to lectins in beans and grains and dairy. Trans fats an issue for everyone. Nightshades may be an issue for some people. That's the tomatoes and eggplant and peppers and all that. And some people do well when you get them off of those. And then the processed meats for sure for everyone, because the nitrates and all the additives and stuff. So you're looking at a nice comprehensive diet diary and working with them. If you've not heard of the 4R process, we go into way more detail of this again in the practitioner training, but remove, replace, reinoculate, and repair. It's the four key steps that you have to do to get person's gut back in order. Elimination diet, I usually start with the common ones, the gluten, dairy, corn, soy, eggs, and peanuts. And that's on your page 17. And you can write those in. And I just get people off of that. They have chronic fatigue, they have fibromyalgia, they have depression, they have mood swings, they have any issues with chronic inflammation. So we're going on an elimination diet. And we eliminate it, and then we can do provocation and put it back in. And one of the bonuses I'm going to give people who sign up for Shine today is access to that food allergy spy training that I put together, that you can then take your clients through it and help them to determine what their food allergies are, because food allergy testing is not very accurate. So sometimes it's foods they eat a lot of and they crave, and it could be foods they don't digest well, and it creates an antigenic reaction. Important to do the gut flora, and I've put that picture on there in its entirety in your handout. You can go back and read that, okay? And then gut-friendly stuff, a lot of the stuff you already know and you're already doing, but make sure that if somebody's got chronic fatigue, fibromyalgia, you're getting them on these foods. We don't think about that necessarily in terms of somebody presenting with chronic fatigue or fibromyalgia or depression. We think of it when somebody comes in with gut stuff, like, I get bloated. You're going to do this stuff. But this is stuff for you to do. It's in your slide. It's there for you as a resource. And then this is another thing, is to make sure that every meal that you get somebody to put into their diet, into their body, that they are stopping and reducing the stress, taking themselves from sympathetic back to parasympathetic, where digestion happens well. And it's so easy. It's so easy. A matter of putting the hand on the heart, hand on the belly, looking at the food, feeling appreciation, closing your eyes if they want to, breathing, feeling appreciation, and shifting from the stress of being at work or handling the kids or driving in traffic to the parasympathetic, the nervous system that does digestion. And our last one is thyroid, and we're going to go very briefly into the thyroid here because I go into a lot more about the thyroid next time. So this is just an overview. You'll have it. You have all these slides right now from here on in because I'm not going to be going into it in great detail, and we're going to be covering it in more detail on the next time. So it's a plug for, please come back for part three because we're going to go into the thyroid and how to test for it. And all the key the tests that most doctors don't even do or know how to do. I had somebody who's in one of my programs, and I said to her, here's the test I need you to do. And she went to her doctor, and her doctor said, well, why do you need to do that? Your TSH is perfectly normal. And I gave her an explanation of why, and the doctor ordered the test. He didn't know. He had no idea that there were other issues involved. So we're going to go through all of these next time. Teaser, teaser, teaser. Thyroid underconversion, increased thyroid binding globulin, thyroid decreased autoimmune, and thyroid resistance. Those things may mean nothing to you right now, or maybe you've heard of them before. You're going to get the depth on that later. And these are all the areas that the thyroid affects. And we're going to go through that next week. We're going to go through the effects of thyroid on glucose metabolism, right? Decreased rate of glucose uptake by cells when you have low thyroid. Decreased rate of glucose absorption in the gut when you have low thyroid. Slower response of insulin to the elevated blood sugar when you have low thyroid, and slower clearance of insulin. So it's this, again, the cycle, right? They all lead to the other. And if you just pick one to address and one to work on with your clients, you're not going to get the results. You're just not going to get the results. So, some lifestyle to support the thyroid. Again, we'll go into that more detail later. The water, the vegetables to avoid the toxins. Avoid the toxins in the food. Avoid the pesticides. Adhere to an alkaline diet. Balancing estrogen levels, because that is affecting the thyroid binding globulin. Again, we'll talk about that more, how the testosterone and estrogen affect that. Massaging the thyroid and doing some exercises, even if it's as simple as rebounder and T-tap. If you don't know what T-tap is, look up T-tap it's Teresa Tapp. She has some amazing exercises specifically for thyroid that you can share with your clients. She was at our last shine, and if you get the videos for our last shine, you'll see her talking about that. She's not going to be, as far as we know, she has some conflicts and can't be at the next shine. There's a list of thyroid nourishing foods, okay? Very important. We'll go through more detail next time via thyroid nutrition. All of these are in your handout, so I don't have to go through them, and you've got them there. Just lists, just resources, key thyroid herbs. And let's look at a holistic approach. What is involved in the holistic approach? We're going to summarize everything I've talked about so far. Is managing stress, reducing the toxic load, adrenal nourishing foods and herbs, but test the adrenals to see before you start mucking around with the herbs and nutrition, because you don't want to go and give them an adrenal stimulating thing when indeed you can give them when they're in a state of adrenal overload, right? And you don't want to give them an adrenal calming thing when they're in a state of adrenal fatigue. Blood sugar balancing diet, test, have them get a blood sugar meter. Probiotics, enzymes, bitters, gut healing foods, herbs, pre-meal digestion, all these things to help with the digestion. All these things help with the digestion. You guys know how to do these things, right? And if you don't, then I highly recommend that you come study with me, because I will teach you everything you need to know about working with people's digestion. And we do that in our year-long or 2-year-long training programs. Okay, so, and we'll go in more in the blood sugar balancing. I'm going to demonstrate that at Shine, so I'll show you how to do it. And we're hoping to be able to have some of those blood sugar meters available for you to purchase. Mineral-rich diet and supplementation, and also helping them with their stomach acid is going to help that. Anti-inflammatory allergy-free alkaline diet, and thyroid support. Test, test, test. And we'll talk about that next time. Yay! In general, whole foods, no processed foods, real foods, lots of greens to their tolerance. Some people don't tolerate too much because of oxalate sensitivities or sulfur sensitivities, but to their tolerance or gut inflammation. And then you do juices. An omega-3 fat balanced diet. So there's what it should look like. This is what you're moving your clients towards. Foundational. You don't just want to know the herbs and the supplements that they should take. It's the food, 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 food. And there's your elixir. Everybody asked me about that. This is the elixir that people have called the, what do they call it? The hair regrowth elixir. So I thought, what the heck? I get asked about it so many times. I get asked about it so many times on the last call. Here's the elixir recipe. You have it. You share it. If you share it with your clients and you don't make it your own, please, I would appreciate getting credit for it. So I'm going to quickly go over with you how you can go more, because there's so much to learn, as you've heard. You've got taken good notes, I'm sure. And there's still so much more. And I'm going to get together with you for 3 whole days, because endocrinology and understanding the endocrinology is not just like a specialty. It's not just like being a dermatologist. It's really, endocrinology is the master control, as you've seen, right? The vicious cycle. Everybody's in that vicious cycle if they're having chronic inflammatory symptoms. And when you can unravel that and you can understand it, you're going to be profoundly successful. And in order for you to understand and balance this whole process, you need to understand the relationship between the nutrition and the endocrine imbalances. I've given you a touch on it today. What nutrient excesses can contribute? What nutrient deficiencies can contribute? What about the foods that they're eating? Which foods specifically help and hurt? These are things that you need to know, and we can go into more depth on, and we will go into more depth on at Shine, and I'm going to give you a nice binder that has like 100 pages. And Shine, for those of you who didn't listen to the first one yet, is my upcoming program called The Scientific Investigation of Scientific and Holistic Investigation of Nutritional Endocrinology. And we're going to be working on this exact thing, the HPAT axis balance. We'll be going into way more detail on adrenals and testing and interpretation. And what do you do once you've interpreted it? Not just, here's a protocol for the low adrenals. Go take a Gaia herbal formula called Adrenals. We're going to help you to really customize that. In some cases, it works. But in some cases, you need to know more and customize it. My hierarchy is always food, then herbs, then isolated nutrients, then bioidenticals. But not necessarily that we're not doing them concurrently. Right. Sometimes we have to do all of them concurrently and jump right in to get people symptom relief. But if you just do bioidenticals or isolated nutrients without working on the foods, you're in trouble. So we talked about, you know, doubling your practice. You want people to come and enjoy what you have to offer. And the way you do that is to get really good results, and people refer like crazy. I know people who have started their practices because they didn't do marketing. They just got good results. And that was how it worked for me in the early days. I didn't know anything about marketing, never took an ad out, never went to a networking group. Not that those are bad things to do. Those are awesome things to do. But I didn't even do that. And because I was getting results, I had people coming and I had a waiting list practice. So the top 4 skills you need to get, and I'm going to help you get there, superior interviewing skills, what to ask and how to ask. At Shine, we are going to give you handouts so that you can just take them and make them your own. You can take the questions that you like. You can add your own questions to it. But I'm giving you a framework to how to have superior interviewing skills, how to know the excellent understanding, how to know what's going on inside. Because if you don't know what's going on inside and somebody presents with a specific symptom, you're not going to know what to do about it, right? If you don't know that adrenal cortisol affects thyroid receptors and somebody's presenting with thyroid problems and you're like, well, how come this isn't working and how come that's not working, and you don't know about the interaction, and you're not addressing their stress and their adrenals, you're not going to get the results. So understanding what I've given you an overview of today, but in more depth. Functional assessment tools. That's things like lab tests, that's questionnaires, that's tests. And I have a gift for you today where we're going to give you a testing tool. And I'll tell you how to get that. Actually, I'll tell you how to get that in a moment. And then a complete holistic toolbox. You have to have it. You have to have a complete box. You can't just be, let's see if that works. Yeah, a complete holistic toolbox. Yay, that worked. You can't just have vitamins in there. You can't just have meditation in there. You've got to have all of it in there. And if you don't do it, you have to know when to get work in conjunction with somebody else to help your person get all the tools. You can't just offer them certain tools that you give and see that they need others, but hope that you can make it fit. It's like taking a hammer and trying to screw a nail in with a hammer. You can't, right? You have to use a screwdriver to screw a screw in, not a nail. So it's happening in October. I hope you can join me. We've already got a bunch of people signed up. We've got some awesome speakers I'll just tell you about. 3 days with me and my speakers and each other. And these are some pictures from last time. People had a blast. So those of you if you're on the chat, you can tell people how much fun you had. It's for you if you're a nutrition coach for sure, or you're an IIN grad and you want to go deeper, or you're a naturopath who just really needs some organization because you've got all this stuff and you don't know how to organize it. That's where I was when I came out of school. It's like, I don't know how to start because I know all this stuff, but I don't know how to segment it and how to approach people. You almost know too much. Chiropractors, MDs, nurse practitioners who want to expand. We already have a few of those signed up for the program. You want to go into functional medicine more deeply and kind of maybe transition your practice. Health coaches, any kind of health coach, if you're interested in the nutrition and going deep. You know, if you're a fitness trainer and you just want to teach people exercise, then that's great. But it really helps to understand how the nutrition fits in so that you're not telling them something you learned in fitness personal trainer school, which may not be appropriate for that person. Like eat every 2 hours, you know, have an energy drink while you're eating, have goo while you're exercising. Those things are bad advice. And if you don't understand the underlying anatomy, physiology, and biochemistry, you don't get it. Dietitians and nutritionists for sure. Acupuncturists, a lot of people, they just want to expand into knowing how to do testing and knowing some of the Western approaches to conditions. And I think acupuncture, Eastern approaches work well with Western approaches. Massage therapists, and for people who are on the call, you recognize some names who you're just like, I want to do this someday. I want to get into a career in the health field and I want to get a jump start. And then if you're just looking to help your family members or you're serious and you've taught yourself a lot about nutrition, then you're welcome to come as well. I have a couple of people who've joined my practitioner training, my first one that started 2 years ago. And one was, I just want to take this so I can help my family. And now she's on my team and I've hired her and she coaches people on my team that come into our fold. And that's the openings that people have when they study with me. Had another one who has just been dealing with herself for years. And she asked me, do you think I could learn this stuff? Do you think I'd love to change careers? Now she's changed careers. So it's the sky's the limit with this. And it's a great opportunity for you to be there. You're not going to get everything. Some of it's going to go over your head, but it's repetition, repetition, repetition. And we'll share with you how you can go further. I want you to come if you're passionate, if you are just intimidated by some of these health challenges, like fibromyalgia, any inflammatory diseases, irritable bowel, what do I do? You love to learn, you love to grow, and you want to make a change in this world. And being around other like-minded practitioners is going to inspire you. We had people who came and met each other and roomed at the event last time, and then they formed a mastermind, and they're helping each other, and they all ended up joining my ongoing program, and they're doing phenomenally. So you can read this on the website. I went through this in the first one, but basically day one is all about like how is all this going on? What is the HPAT axis really? How do you go into the biochemistry? We'll go further into it and how it all works together, how your thyroid really works, the digestion. So it's all like the anatomy, physiology stuff and pathophysiology that first day. The second day is about the assessments. We're going to get into detail. We're going to give you functional lab testing, things that you can do. We're going to give you handouts up the wazoo that you can take back with you and use to guide you in practice. And then day three is to determine what to do. And we're going to go through diet and lifestyle. We have some speakers that day that are going to share with you practical strategies. And here are our speakers. So Tom O'Brien, many of you may know, he did the Gluten Summit which was a summit that got over about 150,000 people to go on it and learn about gluten. He brought together top experts. It's been his passion. And he's who first introduced me to the concept, the impact, the importance of the gluten. That was probably 15 years ago when I first heard him speak at one of my relicensing seminars. He's awesome. He's going to talk about how gluten affects the thyroid. Deanna Minich, who I've just recently met, been introduced to, she is passionate about talking about the neuroendocrine connection to food as medicine, like the specific foods and how they affect specific endocrine areas. And then my good friend David Weinthal, he's a doctor of oriental medicine. He's just very eclectic. He used to be an EMT. He's really into meditation and stuff, but he's going to teach us a practical strategy you can teach your clients to help heal the adrenals through an acupressure technique. And then Donna is going to teach us about the hazards of personal care and cleaning products in terms of what are the chemicals that are disrupting our system, our organ, our glands, and our hormones. And then, if you were on last time, these are three more that finally did confirm, two of them confirmed finally, one it was already confirmed. Artemis, who many of you have met before, he's come to most of my events. He's local, he's amazing, and he's going to talk about tapping techniques that you can help people to just get them out of overwhelm and get rid of the subconscious blocks that are getting in the way. And Michelle Melendez, she's going to come and not only lead fitness breaks throughout the weekend, but actually have a time where she's going to teach you some quick and easy practices you can teach your clients to do. And then finally, Karen is going to share with us some of her delicious hormone harmonizing recipes and she's going to show you on stage. You get to taste the whole bit, and she's brilliant. And many of you have met her before. She's the mastermind behind the recipes and the menus that we do. And she's been trained in Ayurvedic, macrobiotic, and raw foods, and just overall whole healthy food nutrition through the Natural Epicurean and Living Light. What you're going to get is this binder that's loaded with stuff, step-by-step hormone assessment protocols, checklists, thyroid balancing charts that you are not going to get anywhere else, where I've synthesized everything down, step-by-step adrenal balancing protocols, specialty labs, so you don't have to go all over the internet. It's stuff that people I've used, done for you, recipes and meal plans, and then in-office and home testing videos, demos. So if you go VIP, which almost everybody, I think everybody that signed up went VIP because it's an irresistible deal, you get all three breakfasts, all three lunches, and a Friday night buffet dinner. We leave you Saturday not on your own to explore Austin, and there's plenty of very healthy places in the area. And it's walking distance because we're close to downtown. And you're going to get a goodie bag that's special for VIPs, and then pre and post conference, we'll meet before and after to really go through like how to prepare best and what to get out of it after. So that's with the VIP. So you might be wondering, well, what is all this going to cost me? It's like really inexpensive. I go to conferences all the time. I generally pay about $600 or more for a 3-day conference that does not include meals. We're giving it to you for as a special right now is $397. So it's $397 if you just want to do the conference. If you want to upgrade, it's $597. And we're eating the cost of some of that food because it costs us more than $200 to feed you for the weekend, but we wanted to make it an outrageous deal for you to upgrade. We're also going to include a beautiful book I put together, 70 pages of home assessments that you can do in your office with people or that they can do at home. And you can teach them how to help you further get into where is the obstacles, where are the disruptions. So Shine Live 2014. So what I'm going to give you is this herbs, a chart of herbs that are reported to help with insulin, reduce insulin resistance. And this is an invaluable resource. Yeah. You know, it may seem like, oh, that's just information I could get here and there, but to have it all in one place and doses and how it works is great opportunity for you. So go ahead and look at that. I have a couple of quick action bonuses. And if you've already signed up, you're a quick actor. So you're going to get any of these bonuses if you haven't already been promised them. You're going to get access to my Shine Conference in January. I decided that that really needed to be for everybody that signs up throughout the series. So we're going to leave that open throughout after the next conference, but that one. Now, the food allergy spy training, that one not. So if you want to get that, you're going to have to sign up before the next conference, because we're going to change that up and have another bonus then. And it's cumulative. So as I add all these bonuses on, if you signed up earlier, last week, you're going to get all the bonuses you got last week, plus all the bonuses I'm promising now. So it's a really good deal. This food allergy spy training, because allergies are so important to understand and eliminate with people and get rid of those foods for dealing with chronic fatigue, fibromyalgia, depression, mood swings, all of those things. This is an invaluable tool. And it's got checklists, and it's got me taking you through it. It's got videos, audios. It's normally $297, and that's the full price of it. And we're giving it to you for free because I think it's an invaluable tool for you when you sign up for Shine Live 2014 this weekend. The first 15 of you to register is also going to get another invaluable tool because it will help you to help your clients. And you're welcome to sign up as an affiliate and offer these to your clients, but you'll get them for free so you can preview them. You can say, oh yeah, my person needs this dairy-free. I love that class on making dairy-free cheeses. So you sign up as an affiliate, you get a link, you get paid, you know, like 40% or something of whatever they pay for it. And it's a good deal. So, but you're going to get the whole collection, which is over 40 hours and 14 different classes. You're going to get that for free if you're one of the first 15 to register now, or if you've already registered. So yay, if you've already registered, you took quick action, you're just going to get it. But if you're one of the first 15 that registers after this webinar, you're going to get it too. So this is just a summary. It's on the page at Shine Live 2014, compares what you get for conference only versus VIP. Like I said, most people have done the VIP, and some of them who haven't have come back later and upgraded to VIP because it's like, whoa, I don't want to miss out on all that. I mean, the food alone is worth more than the $200 difference in price because it costs us like probably about $275 or more to actually get the hotel to do that, because it's a prime hotel and they're good and it's expensive. And that food is expensive. It's all whole foods. It's in alignment with what we talk about. There'll be greens. There'll be sea vegetables. There'll be rainbow vegetables. There'll be the chia seeds, and there'll be probiotic containing foods. There'll be desserts that are low glycemic. Pretty amazing. So, and again, your investment, you get all that plus the quick action bonuses. Shine Live 2014. Highly recommend that you join us. I can't wait to meet you and give you a hug and share. And we're going to have some open Q&A areas where you can ask questions. You're going to get great camaraderie, make great friends, have fun. So you could either keep learning and struggling on your own and creating your own protocols and checklists, which quite frankly, all of the stuff that I've created has taken the last 23 years to do, which has cost me a lot of time and money. And I'm going to take out the fluff, the stuff I learned in school that was academic minutia that wasn't important. I'm going to give you how I put it together, tried and true checklist assessments and protocols. Get the results, get the referrals, and double your practice fast. So thank you for being here. I highly encourage you to go to Shine Live 2014. Sign up, be with us. Angelica's planning to come, yay. And yes, I have online courses, Angelica. Go to, anybody wants to know more about our practitioner training, neptapply.com, and you'll see what we have. And we'll be announcing very soon the insulin resistance practitioner training, which is going to be going live in November. And if you want to go to insulinresistancepractitioner.com, if you sign up for that now, you will get a free ticket to Shine. So if you're thinking about coming to Shine and you want to study, you can go there and you'll get a free ticket to Shine if you go to insulinresistancepractitioner.com. Peg wants to know, how much of the elixir do I use each time? I usually will make the whole batch and maybe have it. If I'm really hungry and I'm using it as a meal replacement, I do the whole thing, or I spread it over 2 days or 2 times a day. Download the audio to your iPhone or something where you can listen to it, download it to a CD, you can listen to it in your car. You can have your handouts during it. You can take your notes. I've given you a lot of information here. I know it's a lot to process, and that's why I'm doing a three-day event. That's why I'm doing it for 3 days, where we can go over it and we can go through it, and I can show you and I can give you handouts, and we can go through it together, and you can stop me immediately and ask questions. That's why I do a live event, and that's why it behooves you to be at the live event, because it's just amazing. To do the whole thing as a webinar, it could be frustrating to not be able to be in the room and, you know, just do that. But I think that's why. So yes, I talk fast. Yes, I shared with you lots of stuff. Go back. And Angelica says, I want to be your student forever. Yay. And we will let you know. It's good stuff. And there's a lot. And I tried to give you too much. It's a great series of information, and this can help you change your practice. If you really want to dig deep and you want to get all my tried and true resources and just be in that environment, I can't tell you, I have been to so many events, and it's so worth the expense and the time for going, because the value is just so much better than trying to watch the videos. Just think about it, right? If I give you the videos, I can give you the Shine videos for back in January. And where are you going to find a whole weekend if you haven't blocked it off in your schedule that you're going to sit there and watch it concur like one after another? You're not. So you lose the continuity of it. You don't also get the meals. You don't also get the camaraderie. So I highly recommend that you be here. Yes, you can get a lot out of watching the videos afterwards, but are you going to? And are you going to set away the time? So come, enjoy. Thank you, Shannon. I love the webinar. Shine Live 2014. Some of you are brand new into my fold. I know some of you came from some other places, from self-growth or some other places like that. And I so appreciate you coming in. I hope this was great, and know that this is just the tip of the iceberg. Okay? Judy said it's going to be great. Oh, I hope you're going to be there. So I'm excited. And remember that we have the special bonuses for the first 15 is this Raw Food University classes, which is just so invaluable as you're learning to teach your clients how to make good foods. And then the food allergy spy training, which is going to be for the weekend. You got to sign up before the end of the weekend. And then the Shine Conference, January 2014, will be for anybody that shines up throughout the webinar. So if you're waiting to sign up till after the next webinar, you'll still get the Shine Conference ones. You won't get the food allergy spy training, and you won't get the Library of Raw Food University. These are very valuable things. We sell each of these videos for $27, and they're worth it because they're 3-hour videos with a recipe book. Thank you so much, everybody. Take care, and I will see all of you on Wednesday. Yay! We'll be back together, and then hopefully most of you, many of you, at Shine. Bye-bye now.